The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition. Thank God it's Friday. And the tradition here, airing of the grievances, and you can air yours. Your participation is especially appreciated today at 844-967-2789. Dom, he returns on Monday. It's off party and off day drinking, I suspect. But Rich is here, and he's lightly screening your calls. And when I say lightly, I mean very, very lightly. He's a light touch. 844-96-PARTY. Dick, I see you. If you're patient, you could be the first one this hour. But it feels so weird to say the Democratic Party is in array. Now, that is the opposite of the party of disarray. And it wasn't so many weeks ago we were talking about a Democratic Party in disarray. And the Republicans, they had a relatively good convention right until Trump started speaking. But they seemingly had their unity and their enthusiasm going. And then Joe Biden has stepped down. And Kamala Harris has caught fire. And Walz, I think, has helped lift the ticket. More enthusiasm, more accelerant for this rocket. And our friend, friendly, Jennifer Rubin, writes over at the Washington Post, Democrats in array. Harris-Walz ticket has momentum, and we're feeling good. And also, for those of you that took objection to my reading of a J.D. Vance quote yesterday, and I did not call J.D. Vance a war hero. I would never say such a thing. Couch effer, maybe, but never war hero. But just in case you think I didn't do an adequate job of laying out the facts of this circumstance around Tim Walz's military record, Rich and I make this commitment to you. We're going to play some sound from former Republican congressman, and he was on the January 6th committee, Adam Kinzinger. Kinzinger, a veteran, retired after 20 years in the Guard, and he does a much better job than I ever could defending the record, the military record, of Tim Walz. So we're going to play Kinzinger doing so at 4:30. You're going to have to wait for that. It's indulgent. It's not a short soundbite, but we're going to play it for you. So be patient. Just a little bit longer. Let me get this one started, and then we'll get to the phones. Democrats in array. Harris-Walz ticket has momentum. This week, Jennifer Rubin writes, I look at the state of the presidential race, pick the distinguished persons of the week, and share some books from Tim Walz territory. And she said, what caught my eye? This is from the weekly newsletter of Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post. Democrats are famously thought to be in constant disarray. However, the 2024 campaign is unique in many respects, not the least of which is Democrats' surprising unity. Members of Congress from across the political spectrum, including Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Joe Manchin, you know that guy, we're going to call him an independent now, published statements endorsing Walz and Ocasio-Cortez wisecracks, Dems in disconcerting levels of array. I hope that was sarcasm. Now, the expression Republicans fall in line, Democrats fall in love, aptly sums up the two parties' presidential temperaments. But in this case, Democrats have done both. The start of the Harris Walls Battleground State Tour was auspicious. The level of intensity, Walls's authenticity, and Vice President Kamala Harris's maturation as a speaker turned the Philadelphia rally into a rip-roaring event. Now, those that tuned in on Tuesday, we played a lot of that live, and Walls was just hammering on J.D. Vance, and I loved it. You know, I'd love to debate the guy if you just get off the couch. That was a clever line. See what I did there? Even pointed it out. You know, nothing like a dad to point out when he told a dad joke. So, back to the Jennifer Rubin writing. Their appearance in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, a vital swing state, kept the momentum going. Well, we're certainly trying. Whether in person or online, no one can deny the organic excitement Harris has brought to the race. Democrats' close call with President Joe Biden's faltering campaign unleashed a collective sigh of relief, which she quickly supercharged with joy and energy. She's a youthful, forward-looking candidate who gives voters a chance to put the Biden-Trump years behind them. And her multiracial background, talking about Kamala Harris, again, the writing of Jennifer Rubin, no surprise is an asset in a country in which a multiracial population is growing by leaps and bounds. Axios recently reported the 2020 census found that those who identify as multiracial grew to 33.8 million people, up from 9 million in 10 years. That's a 276% jump. And that wave of enthusiasm for happy warrior candidates in turn has motivated Democrats, elected officials, other candidates, interest groups, donors, to put squabbles aside. After Biden bowed out, Harris locked down delegates in no time. After a brief vetting process, Democrats put aside any personal preferences and uniformly lined up behind Walls. Together, they and their party have projected optimism and a love of America, ready to knock out mean-spirited, angry, extreme opposition whose presidential nominee constantly denigrates America is a terrible place. I was in the room when he accepted the nomination in 2016, when Donald Trump did, in Cleveland. And the highlight of the speech was, "The American dream is dead." That was his nomination speech. That was the warmth with which he embraced the nomination in Cleveland. Anyways, back to Rubin. Why Democrats are acting like an organized, disciplined party? What gives? The explanation for such unity and political pragmatism is twofold. First, Democrats, unlike much of the media, have fully realized the existential threat the MAGA movement poses. We are alarmed about the rising autocratic movement in the United States that threatens the American idea and the American people, the cross-partisan group State Democracy Defenders Action recently wrote. January 6, 2021 represented an ugly inflection point on this movement, and it's driving forward with authoritarian proposals like Project 2025 that constitute an assault on the freedoms of every American. Now, Rubin writes, coupled with the menace posed by a rogue, radically right-wing, and corrupt Supreme Court, Democrats understand all too well that whatever differences, they must not get in the way of defeating Donald Trump and his MAGA cohorts. Well-founded fear has spawned solidarity, an essential element for people battling an authoritarian threat. And second, Rubin writes, Democrats in office, in the campaign, and in the advocacy groups are battle-tested. They helped launch the Obama phenomenon. They watched the party blow it in 2016, and they lifted Biden into office during a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. Contrary to the opinions of Monday morning quarterback pundits, the Harris-Walls ticket has the benefit of arguably the most mature and sophisticated political operation in my lifetime. The gap between the two parties in organization, fundraising, volunteerism, and social media presence reflects Democrats' considerable advantage, one that may have a real impact on turnout. A unified, happy party offers a hope of less divisive, nicer brand of politics, potentially opening up an era of increased national goodwill. The key point with the Harris Walls is bridging the urban-rural divide. That's the fundamental fault line in the American politics more than red states and blue states, tweeted New York Democratic congressional candidate John Avalon. This ticket can help reunite our nation, finding common ground rooted in common sense to pursue the common good. And finally, Rubin writes, on the most practical level, the joyful, well-balanced ticket may help Democrats reduce the margins in red portions of purple states. On a broader level, it means dispelling the stereotype applied by both sides to heartland voters. MAGA voters surely live there, but so do multiracial, college-educated Americans of all ages, orientations, and ideals. All of them need health care, child care, and other government services. In short, the Harris-Walz ticket offers the hope that our country is less divided than provocateurs sowing dissension would have us believe. Going to leave it there with the Rubin piece. You can find that on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. We share all the source material. We try to always share it there, but you can always be a part. 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, thanks for that. That was awesome. It was well worth waiting to hear it. First of all, real quick before I get to my gripe, I met Big Ed when he first came to this market in the early 2000s. Him and his wife both did their show from Borders Books on University Avenue. And it was really fun.
You're talking about Big Ed Schultz, Dick?
Yes. Met him and his wife both. She, at that time, helped produce the show. I think she did for quite a while, but they were both at Borders Books on University Avenue when they opened in this market in the early 2000s. To the Trump news conference that was not a news conference. First of all, I watched some of it because I got some free time in the afternoons, and I had to quit watching it. It was ridiculous. First of all, you couldn't. I'm not sure there was anybody really there. They never showed any of the people, and you couldn't hear the questions half the time at all. So I don't even know what he was responding to. But then when he vacillated off into the nonsense about the helicopter ride he was never on, and nobody calls him on this stuff. What is wrong with this media group? And Stephanie Miller's show brought it up this morning. Don't you think if Biden had taken $10 million in cash or gold from Egypt, they might question that during that news conference?
Well, interesting question you asked, Dick. They didn't want interesting questions at the news conference at Mar-a-Lago. More Devils. We'll be right back.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, airing the grievances. That's the tradition here, and you can always be a part. Air your grievance, political or otherwise, 844-967-2789. If you at least found your grievance in politics, though, it's appreciated by the audience. They find it more relevant, let's just say. And I know a lot of you took issue with the fact that I read criticism from J.D. Vance against Governor Tim Walz, his military record, some early criticism that had not yet been vetted, not by yours truly. I had a three-hour drive back from Eau Claire yesterday. I couldn't read all the source information I normally would before the show. So, some of you referenced me to Adam Kinzinger's defense of Walz's military record, and we're going to play that in about 10 minutes. It's long. It's a little indulgent. That's what we do on Fridays. We indulge. Dom's already indulgent. Probably has been for hours. But we're going to play the Adam Kinzinger. So if you stick around for that, we'll play it very soon. Another point I want to make real quick. J.D. Vance's military record is suddenly coming under scrutiny after he attacks Tim Walz's military record, according to Newsweek. Now, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance is being attacked for his military record after he criticized that of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and recently announced running mate of Vice President Kamala Harris. Speaking to reporters in Michigan on Wednesday, Donald Trump's running mate accused Walz of stolen valor, that's a very loaded term, of having lied about serving in war and of abandoning his specific, quote, abandoning in air quotes, his unit. Now, Walz spent 24 years in the National Guard, left in 2005, months before the battalion he led was notified it would be deployed to Iraq. Vance also appeared to reference previous comments from Walz, in which the governor said, we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons were at. Vance said, well, I wonder, Tim Walz, when were you ever in war? What was that weapon that you carried into war, given that you abandoned your unit right before they went to Iraq, and he has not spent a day in a combat zone, question mark? Now, Vance himself served in the Marine Corps for 4 years, and he also never saw combat. He worked as a combat correspondent in Iraq between August of 2005 and February of 2006. The center has now been widely condemned for attacking Walz's military record, as his own background is scrutinized. And Alexander Venman, a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, you know him, Trump attacked him, wrote on the Twitter, Vance enlisted and served 4 years, including 6 months in Iraq in 2004 as a reporter with the public affairs section of the Marine Aircraft Wing. Walz served 24 years, earning 8 promotions, and ended as a Command Sergeant Major, the highest NCO position. I don't think JD wants to compare records, but if he insists, and Jake Bro, a U.S. Air Force veteran who served as a nuclear and missile operations officer, wrote, Tim Walz retired from the military service after 24 years of honorable service. He retired an E-9 Command Sergeant Major. J.D. Vance went to Iraq for 6 months and wrote press releases for an air-conditioned office from an air-conditioned office. And Adam Kinzinger, we're going to play this sound momentarily, a former Republican congressman who served in the Air Force, said, while sharing Vance's comments on Wall, okay, J.D. served honorably, but he wasn't kicking down doors. He was in public affairs, which is fine, and again, honorable. Tim, after he was eligible for retirement, retired. People do that. If it was a real problem, he would have been stop-lost and prevented from retiring. Now, we're going to play the sound of Kinzinger, but I don't know if you know this. But if you're in the military and you put in for retirement and they don't want you to retire, they can say no. They can stop-loss you. So this accusation that somehow Tim Walz left his troops high and dry, that's not true. Because the military literally has the right to say you are too necessary to the mission. You may not retire until the mission is completed. And there are people that were stop-loss many, many times. Now, again, we'll play the Kinzinger sound, and you got to stick around 5-10 more minutes. You can air your grievances here, 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're next. Appreciate your patience. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, and you're pointing out an important fact there. My original grievance was against Glenn Grothman and his recent rant that kids are just rebelling, so they're getting sex changes. But I mean, logistics, you know, it sounds to me like Tim Walz served an important logistics role when he was serving in Italy, when, you know, supporting our troops, you know, that were actively engaged in combat zones. Then logistics behind the scenes is just as important as, in some cases, as the guys that are actually on the front lines, because unless you have that logistical support, the guys that are providing, you know, loading up the gear that you're going to need, that our troops are going to need in battle, you might lose the battle. I mean, that it is as old as the military itself, that logistics are just as important as the guy, you know, as sometimes the troops on the front line, because if the logistics fall apart, that your mission may fall apart. And I have never served and have just read about that stuff. But I just recognize the importance of everybody who is in our military, regardless of their roles. And for J.D. Vance to be denigrating Tim Walz's service, I mean, it is just disgusting.
Mark, I don't disagree with you. Again, we're going to play Adam Kinzinger, his longer, more indulgent take, his defense of Walz's military record. But in part, effectively, service enlistees don't really get to choose much other than, you know, what job you think you're signing up for. I signed up to be a medical specialist. That's what the job was called, 91 Alpha, when I first signed up for it. The job, you all have numerical designations. And then the recruiter told me after I'd signed up, well, you realize that's a combat medic. You know, don't let the lab coat on the glossy folder fool you. You're going to be wearing camouflage fatigues, and you're going to be in the desert. That's what you've signed up for, just so we're clear, young man. So, I never had to serve in a foreign theater. I never had to serve during a time of war. I signed up with a willingness to do so. My patriotism kicked in, made a bad choice. Thought I was getting some GI Bill. Never did. But I had no control over where the military sent me or when. And Adam Kinzinger will make those points. It's Friday, we air the grievances. And sometimes someone does it better than me. It's rarity, I grant you. But we're going to play a long-form Adam Kinzinger defense of Tim Walz's military record, and I think it's worth a listen. You're going to want to hear it. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Something happening here.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. It's a Domless Friday. He'll be back on Monday, but you can always be a part of the greatest radio show ever. I know it's not quite the same without Dom. It's better. 844-967-2789. At least I feel like it's better. You may have a differing opinion. Shared with us by Jeff in the audience, KTVH reporting, and we will bring you the Adam Kinzinger sound, those being patient. Appreciate your patience. This is breaking news. Trump's airplane has landed in Billings, Montana after a mechanical issue. Trump flies private, you may be well aware. Trump Force One, it's down! Plane of former president, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump landed in Billings, Montana this afternoon. Photos and videos sent in by a viewer show the plane landing and taxiing on the runway. Here's the problem. Plane was supposed to be in Bozeman, Montana, not Billings. Now, according to the Billings Airport, Trump's plane landed in Billings after a mechanical issue. He's expected to take private plane now to Bozeman Airport, and the Secret Service is doing a complete sweep of the airport before that takes place. Trump is scheduled to hold a rally in Bozeman Friday evening, with Trump slated to speak around 8 p.m. The rally will be at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse, in case you're in Bozeman, Montana, or Billings, on the campus of the Montana State University at Bozeman. And Trump is there actually to campaign on behalf of Tim Sheehy, the U.S. Senate candidate. Don't forget, John Tester is the Democrat in that race. That is a pretty red state for a blue Democratic senator. It is one of the most highly contested and expensive Senate races of 2024. And more information will be shared by KTVH and the Devil's Advocates if we find out more. Jeff, thanks for sharing with us. It would appear Trump has been rerouted after mechanical issues. Shocker, the Trump plane having mechanical issues. You know he keeps it in tip-top condition. That guy's had a bad month. Someone took a pot shot at him. His airplanes had to land at a different airport after mechanical issues. I'd be a little rattled. I'm just saying that. And oh yeah, the polling has shifted as much as 20% in terms of enthusiasm for the Democrats. And a lot of, I just looked at some polling graphs. All of the red arrows are pointing downward, meaning they're losing support amongst all different sorts of demographics. And all the blue arrows, they're heading towards the sky, where Trump's plane is currently not able to fly. Anyways, thought we'd point that out. Tim Walz, military record. Now, the criticism started from the right yesterday. J.D. Vance rolled it out, I guess technically Wednesday night in Michigan. And I shared some of the criticism, and I was roundly criticized, certainly on the text line. And some pointed me towards a statement made by Adam Kinzinger. So we're going to share it with you. He does a much more eloquent job than I would ever be able to do. He's a congressman, a retired military vet, and he defends Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, Harris's co-pilot, on his military service. It's a little bit longer. It's a little bit indulgent. Bear with us.
I have tried to not become angry during this cycle because, I mean, I mean that. Like, I want to be a professional, like, angry, not really angry. I am furious about this attack. Now, let me take it from the broad perspective and cut me off if I'm spinning too long because I'm going to rant
Go,
about this.
Roll, baby, roll.
So, on the 50,000-foot overview, if you ever served in the United States military, why in God's name would you run for office? Because what you have done is, yes, you have done what 99% of the country won't do. But now it has become acceptable to parse through military records, look for any time you said something in a public comment that might have been a little bit inaccurate, or take a completely normal thing that happens in a military career, explain it as something differently to people that don't understand how, for instance, military retirement works, and make it look like you abandoned your unit. Now, let me go into the details of this. So Walz retires at 24, I think, years, 24 years in the military. Let me be clear about one thing. He could have retired at 20 with a pension. He stayed for 24. That was 4 years after 9/11 and 2 years after the start of the Iraq War. So I retired from the Guard as well. I retired at 20 years. He stayed 4 more years. Eventually, he makes the decision to retire. Now, it just so happens that a month later, his unit gets called to say, you're going to deploy. But he had made the decision to retire prior to that. The other thing I'll say is this. When they said that he is claiming to have worn a rank that he didn't wear is complete bullshit, okay? So how military retirement works is in 20 years, after 20 years, you're eligible to retire. You retire at the rank you last held for 3 years, okay? So when I became a lieutenant colonel, the year I hit I finished my third year as a lieutenant colonel, I was then eligible when I retired to retain the rank of lieutenant colonel.
Got it.
Had I gotten out at 2 years, I would have reverted to major. That happens in about 20% of retirements. That's what Walz did. He reverted to senior master sergeant.
So wait, so where, which rank did he reach? What was his highest rank?
Chief master sergeant, which is like the highest rank in the Army, the highest enlisted rank in the Army. And then since he didn't finish his education requirements for that, which happens all the time, and since he wasn't in that rank for 3 years, he reverted to senior master sergeant. That's not like a disciplinary, you know, demotion like Captain Ronnie Jackson got, and he still has admiral on his Twitter bio. He says he's a rear admiral. He was demoted for disciplinary reasons to captain. So I could go on, and I'm happy to answer any questions, but what makes me furious is not even so much the attack on Walz, as unfair as that is. And I'd be this furious if people were attacking J.D. Vance, by the way. It's the fact that if you served in the military now and you think about running for office, you're like, God, did I ever say anything that somebody happened to get that maybe wasn't entirely 100% true? And if so, I'm never running for office. And when the people that are throwing these arrows, one of them avoided the draft by claiming he had bone spurs. The rest of them, you know, our friend Eric Erickson in Georgia down there sitting jiggling in front of his microphone with his anger, who's never served a day in his life in the military, talking about Walz's service like he has any effing clue. It is a completely unfair attack. If he had known they were deploying and then made the decision to retire, there is still nothing cowardice or unethical about that. Once you pass 20 years of service, you have every right to retire at the moment you decide to retire. And if it happens to be a bad moment and the military is like, sorry, you will leave this unit unmanned if you retire, they do what's called a stop loss, which thousands of people got, which says you cannot retire until this mission is complete. Yeah. So it is an unhinged and wrong and sick attack against a man that did 24 years of service.
That was retired military vet. Lieutenant Colonel was his retirement rank, as he just explained. He is a former congressman. He served on the J6 committee, Adam Kinzinger. And I think he did a far better job defending Tim Walz than perhaps I did yesterday. But you know, that's why I got you in the audience to help point out those that do it a little bit better than I. 844-967-2789. CJ, you've been holding for 3.5 days. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
3.5 days. You're awesome. Hey, as I listen to Kingsler, he doesn't direct the issue towards people that served with Walls, or Tampon Tim, as I'd love to refer to him as.
And why'd you do that? Why would you call him that? Do you even know why?
Yeah, because he plays tampons in little boys' restrooms.
And do you know why he would do that?
You know what? I don't care.
Well, don't let me explain to you why he would do that, since you have no inquisitive nature. CJ, I guess I'm going to have to do your thinking for you. Let me tell you why they call Tim Walls Tampon Tim. I'm going to read a little bit from the Washington Post, and if CJ waits another 2.5 days, I might let him pick up this conversation on the other side. Tim Walls became the target of the right's gender-centric criticism. So I'm going to read why they've called this guy Tampon Tim. Elif Otzerk was a student at Hopkins High School in Minnetonka, Minnesota, when she contacted State Rep Sandra Feist, a Democrat, to discuss something about which she felt strongly, the availability of menstrual products at school. Otzerk had been advocating for such products available since middle school, and Feist was responsive. The legislator introduced a bill that would provide state-funded tampon pads and other products in public school restrooms. Again, this is someone other than Tim Walls, for CJ's sake. Here's a quote from Feist, the state lawmaker, the Democrat from Minnesota. "We do not expect students to bring their own toilet paper to school," Feist and other legislators wrote in an essay to the Star Tribune as the bill was under consideration. "We shouldn't assume that all students can afford and provide their own menstrual necessities either." So as the bill made it through the legislature, its gender neutrality spurred pushback from guys like CJ. The language in the bill didn't specify that the product should only be in girls' restrooms because, as Feist argued, again, not Tim Walls, a Democratic state lawmaker, students who menstruate who are not female face even greater barriers to asking for those products when they need them. An effort to amend the bill to restrict the availability of the products was rejected. So the Minnesota legislature, not as bigoted on this issue as many of our friends on the right wish they were. So the proposal passed the legislature as part of a broader school funding measure. In May of 2023, it was one of several budget-related bills signed into Minnesota law by the governor, Tim Walls. And the governor's news release about the signing didn't mention funding for menstrual products, but instead noted that it established 5,200 new voluntary pre-kindergarten seats, decreased the special education cross-subsidy by 50%, and provided unemployment insurance for hourly school workers. The bill also provided funding for schools to hire mental health professionals and counselors and improved resources for American Indian students. In fact, Governor Tim Walls, now Vice President Kamala Harris's running mate, does not appear to ever have weighed in on Feist's bill, much less on the bit of controversy about the bathrooms to which it should apply. He just signed the budget bill that the legislature put at his desk. Despite that, the online right granted Walls a new nickname in the hours after Harris selected him, Tampon Tim. There was such giddiness about the name, CJ nearly crapped himself. What with the alliteration and its utility in drawing attention to the issue, specifically to the idea that Walls is egregiously sympathetic to trans issues or to women or both. It was fundamentally a paroxysm of excitement about being able to portray the Democratic ticket as, what would you call it, CJ, anti-masculine, without having to use Harris's gender as the vehicle. And the extent to which the presidential race has aligned with the gender divide is now obvious. The Atlantic's Derek Thompson adeptly outlined it just last month. Walls himself characterized the GOP as forming a new iteration of the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Oh, CJ's not just a member, he's the president. a reference that won't help close the generational gap, even if it aids with the gender gap. Come on, man. Anyone that watched Little Rascals, didn't TBS play those reruns for years and years? The Wrights' nickname wasn't Trans Tim, but Tampon Tim, encouraging guffaws at the association of a man with a product associated with women. It is, for the time being, still unacceptable to say that you won't vote for Harris because she's a woman, but you can highlight ways in which you think Democrats are effeminate. One of the most direct articulations was the approach Republicans took being offered by Rep. Matt Gaetz in an interview earlier this year. Sure, maybe the party's embrace of machismo and disparagement of non-masculinity wouldn't appeal to women, but there was an upside. For every Karen we lose, Gaetz said, referring to Donald Trump's base of support, there's a Julio and Jamal willing to sign up for the MAGA movement. And don't forget a Clay, a CJ, as you will. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Tampon Tim, a disingenuous misnomer cast by the right. We're going to disparage them for their falseness. More Devil's Advocates.
...60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Some of you got me grinning at the text line submissions. Hey, Crudy, this is a serious race, but I need to be childish sometimes. Don't we all? Could we start calling J.D. Vance J.V. Vance? See, I like that one. Or better yet, Shady Vance instead. Also, why not refer to Trump as Don Old, since he is the oldest candidate now? I got worse things I say about Trump. Lynn from Madison, Trump's speaking is best described as a vowel movement. Well done, Lynn. And Steady Eddie texts in, Crudy, when I first saw and heard VP choice Tim Walz on TV, he reminded me of someone that I'd heard somewhere before, but I couldn't figure out who it was. Then Wisco Paul mentioned Ed Schultz, Big Ed Schultz. I thought to myself, yeah, that's the guy. Tim Walz is Ed Schultz reincarnated. Coach Walz sounds and looks like Ed. He's gregarious, progressive, hunting, fishing, dropping his G's, footballing kind of guy. I agree, Steady Eddie. Thank you for contributing. LA Times happy with Adam Kinzinger's efforts to defend Tim Walz's military record. Much better than I did, apparently. Dana from La Crosse, up in God's country, tells us, Trump's apparently got mechanical problems, landed in Billings, Montana, supposed to be in Bozeman. Maybe Trump's plane problem is a sham to get out of going to a small rally. Another one said maybe he should pay his mechanics. Brian from Madison. Brian, you know, you are one of the biggest trash talkers on social media I know, but Brian from Madison with the two middle fingers up says, permanently cut CJ off. Yeah, I've thought about it. 844-967-2789. Mark from the Sack said, CJ would likely say my mom was abusive when she had me run into the grocery store and pick up feminine products for her when I was 12 or 13. Good freaking grief. Yes. Here's a hamburger A, hamburger B notion for you. Your choice, the coach guy or the couch guy. 844-967-2789. I love clever, snarky double entendres. Jeannie from Eau Claire, I was in your beautiful part of the state just this week. How are you doing, Jeannie?
Good, and you're doing great. Hey, you tried. You did a good job, you know, but I understand where people want to fight back against those, I'm sorry to say it, but I'm going to have to, a-holes. I mean, you know, we've been nice too goddarn long, and these people are pathetic. And as far as some of those mouthpieces, males, that are so inconsiderate of women, I mean, that's awful when you're at school and you don't have those supplies. Give me a break. But then them little boys, they didn't have to worry about that, just like being raped or unwanted pregnancies or pills not working. You know, I got to tell you, I don't know how any woman could ever even consider dating guys like that. That just grosses me out. But keep up the great work, Cruet, and your crew. You guys have did an outstanding job, and we're really blessed to have you. So thank you, and you have a good weekend.
Well,
bye.
Thank you, Jeannie. Lovely being in Eau Claire this week. It's a great part of the state. We're going to keep doing a little town hall round robin around this great state of Wisconsin. 844-967-2789. Friday, we air the grievances. Cam from Appletown. How you doing, Cam?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Hanging in there, man. It's Friday. I'm ready for a weekend.
Yeah, I am too. I am going somewhere northwest and being kidnapped from my girlfriend's family to go to some place. I haven't looked too much into it. Not an outdoors guy, but I will learn to be.
Buddy, just get drunk by the campfire. You'll sleep through anything.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, rum, half a liter of rum would do it.
May take 1.75. Go get the big boy. Trust me on this, Cam.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I imagine this caricature of CJ just like as an orangutan in a bathroom, and his eyes catch these foreign objects, these boxes of tampons mounted to the wall, and he just goes ape over it, you know, just like throwing, thrashing his hands and stuff, taking pictures and video of it, telling the tampon machine, I'm recording you, and then posting it all over social media onto his Truth Social account, TM, you know. It's just, I think that stuff's kind of ridiculous. Like, how can that be a talking point for you to get mad at paper mounted to a wall?
Well, of course, because it has to do with transsexuals, transgender students, and those that may be perhaps transitioning and aren't making a public to-do about it, but someone transitioning from female to a male. Well, of course, you can't say we don't like the black woman, although they often do, many of the Republicans. So they try to find other ways to denigrate those that would be supportive of the LGBTQ community. Guys like Tim Walz, who actually has an excellent record as an educator.
Yeah, and he's a friend. CJ, folks like him, they're afraid of everyone that is transgender, and I don't understand why they come up with these lies that they're all pedophiles and stuff. And it's like, I'm going to channel Dom here a little bit, so I'm sorry if I start yelling real loud, but if people want to talk about pedophiles, go look at the records for the churches. Even though there are good priests out there and good churches out there, I feel like that record would pale in comparison.
You're probably right, Cam. I actually watched a four-part documentary on the Duggar family and this sort of Christian cult that they were in. And, of course, it's about controlling women. And it so closely resembles, you know, the MAGA agenda. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Friday, happier, happy hour rolling this way. Plenty of time for your Friday grievances. Dial them up. Right now could be your turn at 844-96-PARTY.